Just as God encountered Moses, God encounters us. God encountered Moses through the burning bush. God spoke to Moses in a miraculous experience, drawing his attention, piquing his curiosity with a burning bush, a bush that was burning and yet not being consumed, and then speaking to him from the fire, calling him and sending him to Pharaoh to bring God's people out of captivity. We have also been encountered by God through a miraculous mystery, through the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord, through his word spoken to us in the Gospels, through his miracles, his signs and wonders, through his presence, feeding us when we are hungry and nourishing us when we are thirsty with his grace, his peace, his real presence. Through his love, by dying for us on the cross, by being raised from the dead for us, that we might never fear death. We have also been intercepted in our lives by God. Intercepted. Going day to day by our own business, paying attention to our own concerns, our own interests, our own needs. Going day to day, focusing in on what's important to us. God reaches in and intercepts us. He does it in many ways, through friends, through family, through the events that we see in the news, through the things that happen to us on a daily basis. God comes to us in the normal, mundane things of life and catches our attention, just like God caught the attention of Moses through a burning bush. Moses was out tending the flocks of his father-in-law, and as he tended the flock, he saw that bush burning, and he went to see, curious, what was it? And then God spoke to him. So also God speaks to us. God encounters us. God intercepts us in the midst of our daily living. Sometimes it takes the metaphorical 2x4 upside the head in the things that can and do happen to us or to our family or to our friends. God encounters us. God intercepts us. God comes to us in the midst of our daily living and catches our attention. We have been intercepted by God. And unfortunately, just like Moses, our response is usually a litany of excuses. We get to hear the first part of Moses' excuses here in chapter 3 of Exodus. If you read on into chapter 4, you'll find the rest of his excuses. "I don't know your name," he says. "Whom shall I say sent me? But suppose they don't believe me. They'll say Yahweh didn't talk to you." "Oh, I've never been eloquent, God," Moses said. "I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I stutter. I don't know how to speak. I don't know what to say." And then finally he throws up his hands. "Send somebody else. Don't send me." Well, we're no different. We don't know enough of the Bible. We don't know enough about Jesus. We don't know enough about the faith. We can't answer God's call because we don't know enough. I've heard that excuse plenty of times. "They won't believe us. Jesus didn't rise from the dead," they'll say. Or, "God doesn't exist," they'll say. I've heard that excuse too. We don't know what to say, or are afraid to say it for fear that we'll look silly saying it or be laughed at for saying it. And then finally, we also throw up our hands and say, "Lord, send somebody else. Don't send me." We are no different than Moses. We find excuses to not follow God's calling for our lives. We find excuses reasons why we can't do what God has called us to do. We think in our tiny little brilliance that we're smarter than God. God, you must be crazy. Don't you see? I can't do this. We can't do this. Don't you see, God? There aren't enough of us here to do it. Don't you see, God, we don't have a big enough congregation to do what you're calling us to do. We don't have enough money to do what you're calling us to do. We don't have the right kind of people to do what you're calling us to do. Don't you see, God, you must be crazy. We make excuses. We make excuses, and they're just as meaningless and just as much of a failure in terms of excuses as Moses' was. I can't speak. I stutter. I don't know what to say. I don't know who to say sent me. All of those were empty excuses. Likewise, our excuses for not doing what Jesus has called us to do, for not following the call of Christ, for not proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to all, for not welcoming all into the family of faith, for not going out and sharing Christ Jesus with those we meet every day, for not being a welcoming people. And the church at large, not necessarily this one, but the church at large tends to be not very welcoming to people. When we fail to express the love and welcome of Jesus Christ to all, we are failing to be the people God has called us to be. We're failing to respond to the calling that Jesus has for us. We're doing what Moses did when we don't have open hearts, open minds, and open doors. I look at the United Methodist Church and I hear the beautiful slogan, and I think, oh, if only our denomination could truly believe and live this message that we can have an open mind and we can have an open heart and we can have open doors. Now, you do have to be careful sometimes, my friends. Your mind does need to be open, but not so open that your brain falls out, okay? You got to keep your brain. You don't take your brain out and put it on the shelf when you come to church. You bring your brain to church, friends, and you leave it open for God to fill it and for your brothers and sisters to fill it in study. And your heart must be brought to church too. Too many churches have closed hearts, unwilling to be open to others. And the doors must be open to any and all who want to come, to any and all that we may invite to come, to any and all without regard to ethnicity, language, background, nationality, gender, sexual orientation, matters not. All are welcome to come and participate in the family of God. Thank you. But unfortunately, the church, and this is an indictment of the United Methodist Church in general and the Church Universal, the church has not been very open to others. We're only open to those people who think like us and look like us and smell like us and probably even taste like us. We'll be open to people if they have our kind of last name and speak our language. We'll be open to the people we want to be open to. But God, you're crazy. You don't really want us to be open to all, do you? The last time I looked at the definition of all, all meant everybody. Yes. God calls us as the body of Christ to be open and welcoming to all. Our response so frequently is Moses' response. Oh, I don't know who you are, God. Oh, they're not going to believe me. They're going to say, I didn't hear from you. Oh, I can't do it. I stutter. I don't speak well. I don't know what to say. God, choose someone else. We have the same response. God, there are not enough of us here. God, you're crazy. We don't have enough money. God, you're crazy. We don't have enough facility. God, you're nuts. They're not going to want to come and be a part of us. God, Find some other church. Sorry. I'm sorry, my brothers and sisters, but there is no other church. We are called to be the open body of Christ, with open minds and open hearts and open doors for all to come and be a part. We have the same excuses as Moses. And we have the same responses as Moses. God responds to us the way God responded to Moses. Firstly, God begins by talking about his name. Okay, if they ask you who sent you, tell them the I am sent you. Huh? That sounds kind of weird. The I am. God says, I am that I am. He's not Popeye, friends. He says, I am that I am. Tell them that I am sent you. Another way to translate that is, I am who I am. I will be who I will be. I will be known for who I am. All of those are possible definitions of the name of God. God's name, Yahweh, is the root word from which Hebrew draws its to-be verb. The to-be verb, to be or not to be, the to-be verb in Hebrew is drawn from the name of the deity, Yahweh. So in other words, God's name literally means the one who is. The one who is. The one who is and cannot not be. Let me repeat that. The one who is and who cannot not be. In other words, existence, being, is the essential character of God's nature. God is, and all that is depends upon Him. You take a look at the universe. It's an amazing universe that God has created for us. It's an incredible place. God made it all. God created it. God envisioned it. God directed it. It depends upon God. And that Creator is the one who is and who reveals Himself to us and who calls us to proclaim the gospel, who calls us to welcome all, who calls us to have open minds, open hearts, and open doors. He is the one who created it all. The name Yahweh has an interesting visual meaning too. Take a hose, a water hose, and attach it to a faucet. Turn the faucet on and let the water get going. And once the water's going real strong through the faucet, take the hose, and pinch it off in the middle. And if you pinch that hose off in the middle, you'll feel this pressure of water behind your fist trying to get through. That pressure of water, that pressure, that force trying to bust through your fist, pinching off the hose, that force trying to get through is the essence of what Yahweh means. I will be known, and there's nothing that you can do to stop it. You can try to pinch me off, you can try to close me off, but I will burst through and be known. That is an experiential understanding of the name Yahweh. God is the one who is and who will be known. So there's nothing that you can do. You can try to run away from God. You can try to say no. You can do what Moses did and try to make excuses for why you're not going to do it, why you couldn't possibly do it, why, God, you're crazy choosing me. I'm the wrong person. You don't know as much as you think you do. We can try to claim that, but my friends, it doesn't work. The more you try, the more God pushes through and sprays grace all over you. The essence of God's name is the one who is, who cannot not be, and the one who will be known. And we serve this God. We serve this God. This God has called us to serve in mission and ministry to a broken and hurting world, to proclaim the good news to all, to welcome all. This God whom we serve is the Lord of sea and sky. and he has heard his people cry. Here I am, Lord, is a beautiful hymn of the church. So frequently, we sing these hymns and we don't pay attention to what we're singing. We read through the words, but we don't pay attention to what we're singing. So, I'm going to read these words for you. And I want you to listen. I don't want you to follow along. I want you to listen to these words. I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. All who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? I, the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them. They turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Well, you're not going to send me, Lord. Sorry. That's a tall order, God. That's a tall order. Are you crazy? There's only one of me. There's only a few of us. We got limited resources, limited time. We're getting old. We're getting tired. I don't want to do it. Find somebody else. That's our response. Sometimes that's my response. Oh, God, you're crazy. God, do you have any idea how much money, how much good I could have done for you if you had given me all of Bill Gates' money? If you had made me a Rockefeller, if you had made me Steve Jobs, I could do so much for you. If you'd given me unlimited resources. Jesus says, I have given you unlimited resources. It's called the grace of God. Amen. Worth far more than money. Worth far more than fame. I've given you the grace of God. And you flushed it. I've given you the grace of God. In the Word. In the sacrament. In the church. The body of Christ. And you fight. And you argue, and you disagree, and you backbite, and you name call. Just go to General Conference next year and watch. Just go to General Conference and watch the Methodists who talk about love want to strangle each other. Ooh. I just want to strangle them for wanting to strangle each other. God help me. Whom shall I send? Moses says, not me. And sometimes, heaven help us, we say, not us. But my brothers and sisters, the hymn calls us to faith. The hymn calls us to a faithful response. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? Yes, it is you. But why don't we? The one characteristic that underlies Moses' negative response, Moses' excuses, Moses' desire to run, and our negative response and our desire to run, the same characteristic that underlies both Moses and us is fear. Fear of stepping out in faith. Fear of following the Word of God. fear of doing what God has called us as the family of God to do. I don't know how to speak for you, God. They might reject us. I'm afraid of welcoming a neighbor. They might actually come to church. God, my neighbor has an Asian last name, and I think I need to invite them to go to this Filipino Methodist church down the street, not here, because they'll be more comfortable over there. Huh? Thank you. It is funny in a tragic sense, but true. What underlies the excuses and the refusal and the denial and the desire to run away is fear. Fear of others. Fear of change. Fear of the different. Fear of doing things differently. Well, we've never done it that way before. Good. Try it. It might work. Well, we've never sung it that way. Well, try it. It might work. What you're doing now doesn't look all that good for you. Try something new. Oh, fear. God might actually work a miracle. And then where will we be? Here I am, Lord. We'll sing it in here in just a few minutes. But will we mean it? Or, instead of faith, will fear rule us? Now I'm speaking to Northgate United Methodist Church and any other Methodist church and any other body of Christ, regardless of denomination, whoever may be listening or watching. Are we going to sing this hymn, "Here I Am, Lord," with faith and mean it, or with fear? Are we going to sing this hymn with faith and mean it, or with fear? Those are the two choices. Faith's either an active verb or it's meaningless. It's either an active verb or it's disfaith, the verb going the other way. It's either faith or it's fear. How are we going to sing these beautiful words? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. There's one word here that I don't like. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. Huh? There's no ifs, ands, or buts here. It's not a possibility that the Lord's going to lead us. It's a certainty that the Lord will lead us. All we have to do is step out in faith, and the Lord will lead. So instead of singing, "If you lead me," let's sing, "When you lead me," or "Where you lead me," or "As you lead me." That is what we're proclaiming today. That's what the church universal should be proclaiming. I will go, Lord, where you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. Let's say it, let's sing it, and let's believe it, my brothers and sisters. Let's not run away like Moses in fear and make excuses for why we're not doing what God has called us to do. Let's not run away in fear and tell God, "You're crazy." Let's proclaim, "Here I am, Lord." Is it I, Lord? Yes, it is. I have heard you calling in the night, and I will go, Lord, where you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. Let's sing it with faith today as we close our service following the offering. Let's sing it.
have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2011 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.